Secret Societies and Their Power in the 20th Century by Jan van Helsing. Translation and Typesetting, Ursula Thnin, Zurich. Original title, Jahrhundertgesellschaften und Geheimakten 20. Jahrhund. Introduction. There are two levels of historical reality. The first is the general so-called public opinion that is served up to the average citizen by the mass media and will later, because of persons writing it down, become history. The second one, though, is made up of the happenings that are not revealed to the public. This is the world of the machinations by secret lodges and secret societies which interlink capital, politics, economy and religion. On this level nations are made, wars are instigated, presidents and leaders are put in office and, in case they don't function, eliminated. The citizen who fashions his opinion and his view of the world form what he gathers from the mass media like newspapers, TV, radio, book learning and common literature will find most of the things revealed in the following pages unfamiliar. Thoughts like, "I never heard of that," are understandable because secrets and the dealings of secret lodges only fulfill their purpose if they do remain secret. But the very existence of secret lodges shows that there must be something that the lodge brothers find important to keep secret. What could that be? As I will show, many lodge brothers of different secret societies find themselves in positions that one can only dream about. This shows that whatever they keep secret from you has elevated them to these positions. Let me give you just one example here to illustrate what I mean with dream position. One of the main organizations pulling strings in the US is the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. This semi-secret organization is dominated by the Rockefeller Syndicate and a European secret society called Committee of 300. Explanation follows. In the list of members of the Committee of 300 that I got from Dr. John Coleman's book Conspirators' Hierarchy, the Committee of 300, I found among others, Sir John J. Loudon. He is representative in London of the N.M. Rothschild Bank. His other positions are as follows: Chairman of the International Advisory Committee of the Chase Manhattan Bank, Rockefeller. Chairman of Royal Dutch Petroleum / Director of the Shell Petroleum Company Limited and 8. Trustee of the Ford Foundation. This shows extraordinary power and influence in a single person. But how did he get there? This now has to do with the secret societies and orders of which he is a member. In this case it is the Committee of 300. And in that committee there are 300 persons of the same caliber amongst themselves, and he most certainly is not the mightiest. Can you imagine that decisions and resolutions made in meetings of these people can have a very great influence upon what happens in the world? These persons keep secrets from the public. They know some things that we do not, and therefore those who call themselves the Illuminati, the Enlightened Ones, the Initiates, are incredibly powerful. Wouldn't you like to know what the secrets are the Illuminati keep from you? Almost all the secrets have to do with the past of our planet, the history and the origin of humanity, how and where. The reason for our being here. The so-called UFOs and the consequences thereof. UFOs equals unknown, unidentified, flying objects, the common name for flying devices with two counter-rotating magnetic fields, mostly cigar or saucer-shaped and of terrestrial of extraterrestrial origin. I presume that the word UFO is not welcome to some. That is why it is so important to be open for new things. And the subject of UFOs is not new, on the contrary. People in Europe have been just as misinformed as everyone else upon this earth where UFOs are concerned. And that again has to do with the Illuminati who control the media. Especially here in Germany. I would like to give here an example to show just how real and earthly the background to this phenomenon can be. Beside the Thule Gesellschaft, Thule Society, which will be described in detail later, there was another secret order in the Third Reich, the Viril Gesellschaft. This was mainly occupied with the building of UFOs. They had, next to Victor Schauberger and Dr. W. O. Schumann, also Schriever, Habermal, Meyerth, and Belutso working for them, whose developments were greatly accelerated after, according to them, an extraterrestrial saucer went down in the Black Forest in 1936 and was hardly damaged. After having scrupulously studied the drive and having joined the findings to the already enormous body of knowledge of the Viril Gesellschaft about implosion and anti-gravity, they started to build their own prototypes. Developments like the Viril 7, V7, a disc-shaped supersonic helicopter, not to be confounded with the V-1 and V-2 cruise missiles, were so astounding that today's stealth bombers look like toys in comparison. The Viril 7, developed by Richard Myath, for example, and equipped with 12 BMW 028 turbo units, reached, in a test flight in Peenemünde on February 14, 1944, in vertical takeoff, the height of 24,200 meters and in horizontal flight a speed of 2,200 kilometers per hour. By the end of 1942, several units of the circular aircraft RFZ-6 with the name Hornbrew II had already been built. It had a diameter of 32 meters and a height of the central axis of 11 meters, and near the ground it reached a speed of over 6,000 kilometers per hour. It had an operational range of 55 hours, took off vertically, and could fly horizontally, vertically, and, most importantly, maneuver at right angles, a movement typical of all the UFOs observed all over the world. Later Viril developments were even more successful. As early as the beginning of 1945, they succeeded in flying around the globe in a few hours. A large capacity version of the Hornbrew II had a diameter of 120 meters and had integrated sleeping quarters. Just think why one would need sleeping quarters if one could fly around the world in a few hours? More about the Viril Gesellschaft and its developments in the chapter named accordingly. Many will now ask, why did Hitler not win the war if he had technologies like these at his disposal? The reason is that although a large number of these flying discs showed incredible performance, yet they were well nigh unusable in a military context. The reason was that the magnetic field produced by the levitation drive acted like a protective shield around the craft and, while it rendered it almost impossible to shoot down, was almost this show's extraordinary power and influence in a single person. But how did he get there? This now has to do with the secret societies and orders of which he is a member. In this case it is the Committee of 300. And in that committee there are 300 persons of the same caliber amongst themselves, and he most certainly is not the mightiest. Can you imagine that decisions and resolutions made in meetings of these people can have a very great influence upon what happens in the world? These persons keep secrets from the public. They know some things that we do not, and therefore those who call themselves the Illuminati, the Enlightened Ones, the Initiates, are incredibly powerful. Wouldn't you like to know what the secrets are the Illuminati keep from you? Almost all the secrets have to do with the past of our planet, the history and the origin of humanity, how and where. The reason for our being here, the so-called UFOs and the consequences thereof, UFOs equals unknown, unidentified, flying objects, the common name for flying devices with two counter-rotating magnetic fields, mostly cigar or saucer-shaped and of terrestrial of extraterrestrial origin. I presume that the word UFO is not welcome to some. That is why it is so important to be open for new things. And the subject of UFOs is not new, on the contrary. People in Europe have been just as misinformed as everyone else upon this earth where UFOs are concerned. And that again has to do with the Illuminati who control the media. Especially here in Germany. I would like to give here an example to show just how real and earthly the background to this phenomenon can be. Beside the Thule Gesellschaft, Thule Society, which will be described in detail later, there was another secret order in the Third Reich, the Viril Gesellschaft. This was mainly occupied with the building of UFOs. They had, next to Victor Schauberger and Dr. W. O. Schumann, also Schriever, Habermal, Myath, and Belutso working for them, whose developments were greatly accelerated after, according to them, an extraterrestrial saucer went down in the Black Forest in 1936 and was hardly damaged. After having scrupulously studied the drive and having joined the findings to the already enormous body of knowledge of the Viril Gesellschaft about implosion and anti-gravity, they started to build their own prototypes. Developments like the Viril 7, V7, a disc-shaped supersonic helicopter, not to be confounded with the V1 and V2 cruise missiles, were so astounding that today's stealth bombers look like toys in comparison. The Viril 7 developed by Richard Meyerth, for example, and equipped with 12 BMW 028 turbo units, reached, in a test flight in Beenham and on February 14, 1944, in vertical takeoff, the height of 24,200 meters and in horizontal flight a speed of 2,200 kilometers per hour. By the end of 1942, several units of the circular aircraft RFZ-6 with the name Hornbrew II had already been built. It had a diameter of 32 meters and a height of the central axis of 11 meters, and near the ground it reached a speed of over 6,000 kilometers per hour. It had an operational range of 55 hours, took off vertically, and could fly horizontally, vertically, and, most importantly, maneuver at right angles, a movement typical of all the UFOs observed all over the world. Later Viril developments were even more successful. As early as the beginning of 1945, they succeeded in flying around the globe in a few hours. A large capacity version of the Hornbrew II had a diameter of 120 meters and had integrated sleeping quarters. Just think why one would need sleeping quarters if one could fly around the world in a few hours? More about the Viril Gesellschaft and its developments in the chapter named accordingly. Many will now ask, why did Hitler not win the war if he had technologies like these at his disposal? The reason is that although a large number of these flying discs showed incredible performance, yet they were well nigh unusable in a military context. The reason was that the magnetic field produced by the levitation drive acted like a protective shield around the craft and, while it rendered it almost impossible to shoot down, was almost 9. impossible for the conventional weapons to penetrate without friction. The projects were under the supervision of the Viril Gesellschaft and the SSC4, Secret Development Center for Alternative Energy of the SS, that is, they were not directly under Hitler's and the Gestapo's orders and basically were not planned for war use. Only later, when Germany's situation deteriorated, did one think about using the flying discs in the war. Under the supervision of the Viril Gesellschaft and the SSC4, Secret Development Center for Alternative Energy of the SS, that is, they were not directly under Hitler's and the Gestapo's orders and basically were not planned for war use. Only later, when Germany's situation deteriorated, did one think about using the flying discs in the war. Another reason is that most people have no idea what Hitler's real aims were, where he had been educated, of which lodges he was a member, whose ideology he adopted, who put him in his position, who financed him, and what reasons there were behind the Second World War. Hitler's ideology had nothing to do with what we call today the general reality and with what is told about the Third Reich in schoolbooks. Hitler was a mystic and an occultist down to his shoes, and to understand what happened in the Third Reich one had to look at it from this viewpoint, too. To most materialists among the historians, the Nuremberg trials were a mixture of Grimm's fairy tales and stories from the mentally sick, because they were unable to think themselves into the roles of the defendants. Now had they the necessary knowledge to understand the stories these people told? Dieter Rugebeck puts this very aptly, only an occultist can recognize an occultist. The chapters about the Thule Gesellschaft and the Viril Gesellschaft will explain the ideology of these people in more detail. Hitler and his secret societies knew a lot more about the origin of humanity, the structure of the Earth, anti-gravity and free energy than we are taught today. That is also why all writings and books that could divulge this knowledge were removed or banned by the Allies, to ensure that humanity will remain easily manipulated. The Allies' main interest were the technologies of the Viril Gesellschaft. These were the best-kept secrets of the Third Reich. The Russians got their hands on the construction designs first. The scientists like Victor Schaube, Eugen Wernher von Braun became, in the Operation Paperclip, the prey of the Americans. The resulting developments of flying machines are under the highest security rating of the US of A. They were also the reason why J.F. Kennedy had to die. See the chapter The Kennedy Assassination. There were, though, quite different experiments conducted in the Third Reich which would all but destroy the views of the world so far erected by the readers if given here. Therefore they will later be treated separately. Why have most people never heard about these things? For instance, about the founding of the German state Neuschwabenland, New Swabia, in the Antarctic during the Second World War? And why did U.S. Admiral Richard E. Byrd require almost 4,000 armed troops, an aircraft carrier and full military support when he went to explore the Antarctic? And why did only a few hundred of them return? Many open questions. Why have only few people heard of these things, or of the developments of Nikola Tesla, among which were free energy machines, energy transfer without cables, anti-gravitation and the changing of the weather by the aimed use of standing waves? What consequences would the knowledge about free energy forms and about the use of flying saucers, which only use a magnetic field for an energy source, have? Especially if every citizen would have access to it, for their cars for example? No more, fill air up. No pollutants, no pollution of the environment. No nuclear power stations and more. People could no longer be kept locked within the boundaries of a country, and we all would have more free time because we wouldn't have to work to pay for heating, petrol and electricity, in this time of life. And these energy forms exist. They have been existing for at least 90 years and have been kept secret all this time. Why were they kept secret? Because people on this earth are controlled by energy, food and retention of knowledge. If the knowledge about these are things and their use would be available to all, the Illuminati or other egoists could no longer play their power games. Churches, sects and drugs would 10. Lose their importance. Therefore it is imperative for the Illuminati to keep these things from the rest of the world, in order to feed their greed and their ego with their might. This was a side trip just to show that the UFO theme is more explosive and real than many would have it. The strategy of ridicule used by the Anglo-American establishment has so far cost several billion dollars, just to denigrate the UFO theme by the mass media successfully. On top of that, the first law in a secret lodge is to never be mentioned publicly. Even saying the lodge name by a lodge brother is punishable by death in certain cases, in the 99 Lodge for example. In the secret school of Pythagoras pronouncing the last theorem, the octagon was also punishable by death. The octagon is an important key to understanding the Merkaba, the human geometric magnetic fields, and is therefore illuminating, that means a solution to our problems. Merkaba equals two counter-rotating light fields, which transport both body and spirit equals dematerialization and teleportation of the body. Secrecy is proper power. It allows the execution of operations without them being hindered by legal entanglements or potential opponents, and it also fosters the interchange of higher knowledge among the knowing. Let us look here at the key scene from Umberto Eco's In the Name of the Rose. When the blind abbot asks the researching William of Baskerville, "What do you actually want?" Baskerville answers, "I want the Greek book which you say was never written. A book dealing exclusively with comedy that you hate as much as laughter. Yet it is perhaps the only surviving copy of the second book of Poetics by Aristotle. Many books deal with comedy, why is just this one so dangerous?" And the abbot says, "Because it's by Aristotle." Baskerville, "What is too disquieting about people laughing?" The abbot, "Laughter kills fear, and without fear there is no faith. Who does not fear the devil no longer needs a god. With this sentence, we are nearer a solution to many problems we ever had on this planet than we believe. Perhaps some of you knew this already or will hopefully soon find out. Maybe you should read this paragraph a second time. When a secret lodge is deceiving the public with fraud and manipulation in order to attain political and economic power, at other people's expense, then secrecy, as in the foregoing example, can become a deadly tool. Of course, I am not saying that all secret societies are destructive or evil. One of the many branches of Freemasonry, for instance, evolved after 1307 from the Knights Templar, whom the Vatican, under pressure by the French King Philippe IV, persecuted. Those who escaped capture and torture by the Inquisition mainly went to Portugal, England, and Scotland, where for centuries they worked in secret to bring justice to the world and to further human rights. Yet history shows at the same time that the secret societies like the 33 the rest of the world, in order to feed their greed and their ego with their might. This was a side trip just to show that the UFO theme is more explosive and real than many would have it. The strategy of ridicule used by the Anglo-American establishment has so far cost several billion dollars, just to denigrate the UFO theme by the mass media successfully. On top of that, the first law in a secret lodge is to never be mentioned publicly. Even saying the lodge name by a lodge brother is punishable by death in certain cases, in the 99 Lodge for example. In the secret school of Pythagoras pronouncing the last theorem, the octagon was also punishable by death. The octagon is an important key to understanding the Merkaba, the human geometric magnetic fields, and is therefore illuminating. That means a solution to our problems. Merkaba equals two counter-rotating light fields, which transport both body and spirit equals dematerialization and teleportation of the body. Secrecy is proper power. It allows the execution of operations without them being hindered by legal entanglements or potential opponents, and it also fosters the interchange of higher knowledge among the knowing. Let us look here at the key scene from Umberto Eco's In the Name of the Rose, when the blind abbot asks the researching William of Baskerville, "What do you actually want?" Baskerville answers, "I want the Greek book which you say was never written. A book dealing exclusively with comedy that you hate as much as laughter. Yet it is perhaps the only surviving copy of the second book of Poetics by Aristotle. Many books deal with comedy. Why is just this one so dangerous?" And the abbot says, "Because it's by Aristotle." Baskerville, "What is too disquieting about people laughing?" The abbot, "Laughter kills fear, and without fear there is no faith. Who does not fear the devil no longer needs a god." With this sentence, we are nearer a solution to many problems we ever had on this planet than we believe. Perhaps some of you knew this already or will hopefully soon find out. Maybe you should read this paragraph a second time. When a secret lodge is deceiving the public with fraud and manipulation in order to attain political and economic power, at other people's expense, then secrecy, as in the foregoing example, can become a deadly tool. Of course, I am not saying that all secret societies are destructive or evil. One of the many branches of Freemasonry, for instance, evolved after 1307 from the Knights Templar, whom the Vatican, under pressure by the French King Philippe IV, persecuted. Those who escaped capture and torture by the Inquisition mainly went to Portugal, England, and Scotland, where for centuries they worked in secret to bring justice to the world and to further human rights. Yet history shows at the same time that the secret societies like the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasons can be a dangerous power with the ability to set up and depose governments and to use secret alliances for global alterations. Many books have been written about the Illuminati, mostly in English. Personally, I disliked the fact that they were often written by fanatics, fanatical Christians, fanatical Mormons, fanatical Jehovah's Witnesses, by fanatical rightists or leftists, etc., who had realized what happened around them, but had argued from their subjective viewpoint and in the end pointed just to other groups or Satan as the culprits. So I tried to collect the facts from the different fields of politics, religion and finance that in my opinion were most important, and to summarize them without evaluation, so they are also acceptable to non-religious and other free and thinking persons, and that dealing with the cause can be done by everybody, whether they be white, black or yellow. And you will understand why the Illuminati are interested that a single human being may not know everything. 11. No author will perhaps 100% succeed in painting a complete picture of the entanglements upon this planet. Therefore, the main focus of this book is to show you what the persons mentioned want and how they go about it. As I said, the operations of the Illuminati go back to Sumerian times at least, but dealing with that would go too far here and would miss the actual point. So we will start with the Freemasons. It is sufficient to go back 300 years. For although the names and institutions change in the course of history, the power behind them remains the same. In summary, we can state already here that there are many more secret lodges and orders, and for a long time, than will be mentioned in this book. This compilation shall let you recognize the intertwining and give you a feeling for the fact that, more than ever, powerful people exist whose sense of values is a bit different. This book shall give you an insight into the negative global entanglement. Since our material world can only exist in polarities, we may assume that an equally powerful potential of positive and constructive forces has to keep the balance. Only most people are not aware of these powers and the effects of a purposeful utilization thereof, and this is one of the reasons why they still allow themselves to be so misused. My main goal is to show positive ways to counter these negative situations so we may free ourselves and develop a new understanding of cosmic forces, cosmos equals Greek, order, global networking, human relations and personal heightening of the awareness according to the emerging new age. Please don't be disheartened if the concentrated brew of information proves too much for you to stomach in one go. Should you have a problem understanding certain passages or feel lost in the entanglements, please do not jump over any paragraphs, because they all help to give a coherent picture. Rather, take the time and read those passages again. The lists of literature enable you to research for yourself and invite you to a further trip through the jungle of information. My historical review is just touching the tip of an iceberg, or, to stay within the context, the tip of a pyramid. Upon this planet, therefore, the main focus of this book is to show you what the persons mentioned want and how they go about it. As I said, the operations of the Illuminati go back to Sumerian times at least, but dealing with that would go too far here and would miss the actual point. So we will start with the Freemasons. It is sufficient to go back 300 years. For although the names and institutions change in the course of history, the power behind them remains the same. In summary, we can state already here that there are many more secret lodges and orders, and for a long time, than will be mentioned in this book. This compilation shall let you recognize the intertwining and give you a feeling for the fact that, more than ever, powerful people exist whose sense of values is a bit different. This book shall give you an insight into the negative global entanglement. Since our material world can only exist in polarities, we may assume that an equally powerful potential of positive and constructive forces has to keep the balance. Only most people are not aware of these powers and the effects of a purposeful utilization thereof, and this is one of the reasons why they still allow themselves to be so misused. My main goal is to show positive ways to counter these negative situations so we may free ourselves and develop a new understanding of cosmic forces, cosmos equals Greek, order, global networking, human relations and personal heightening of the awareness according to the emerging new age. Please don't be disheartened if the concentrated brew of information proves too much for you to stomach in one go. Should you have a problem understanding certain passages or feel lost in the entanglements, please do not jump over any paragraphs, because they all help to give a coherent picture. Rather, take the time and read those passages again. The lists of literature enable you to research for yourself and invite you to a further trip through the jungle of information. My historical review is just touching the tip of an iceberg, or, to stay within the context, The Tip of a Pyramid. Chapter 1: Too Many Lodges in the Broth.